I'm just adding more people as we go through this.
Okay.
So if there any of the board members see some people out there that need to be added, just let me know.
Okay.
Okay, so we'll just go into our public comments. Anybody's got a public comment?
And so, if you have a public comment, please raise your hand because you're muted right now. So you'll need to raise your hand and indicate on the side of your name that you want to make a comment. Michelle, could you please explain how they raised their hand?
Sure. As soon as I remind myself, I can remind myself.
Michelle, basically what you need to do is you need to click on participants at the bottom, scroll all the way down.
Oh, it's right in front of me. Okay.
Okay.
Go ahead, Lori.
And then say, click on participants, scroll all the way down, and there should be a place there to raise your hand.
I'm not even sure. I don't even know. You don't even have to scroll all the way down, in my view. At the bottom, there's a bar that has invite, mute me, and raise hand. And if for some reason none of that's working and you're muted and can't unmute, then turn on your video and wave at us and we'll know.
Okay, I see a hand here. So Wendy was able to raise her hand. Leo?
Or I'm looking for Wendy.
She should jump to the top of your participants, Leo, as soon as she
raises her hand. Oh, yeah, I see it now. Okay, ask her mute. Okay.
Hi, everyone.
Is there Wendy?
Yeah. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay. So when you're asking for comments, are you wanting us to get right into the whole Snowflare ideas that some people might have, or are you just, is this something different?
This is the public, I guess anything that you want to have a public comment, but as far as the Snowflare piece of it, that's also going to be talked about on item number 7. We just moved that up.
Okay, so this is, okay, then I'll unmute myself.
Okay.
So, Leo, maybe the general, like, not rule, but guideline would be if it's on the agenda, it's great to wait until we get to that agenda item, but if it's not and there's something that you want to bring up that we don't have agendized, then this is the perfect time to do it.
Okay. Let me do one more look.
Yeah, it looks like you're good.
Okay. There's we've got, 28 participants tonight. Okay, we'll go ahead and do agency reports. I see that the deputy's gone.
No, he's still there.
Yeah, well, there he is. I have to unmute.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. To get started, we'll go over just the basic information. For last month, there was 176 calls for service. There were 6 reports taken, nothing major as far as reports go. For the year wrap-up for the WeTip program, we received 11 WeTips for the area of Wrightwood. So far, only one of those has led to any investigative leads, and that was referenced the burglary over at the gas station. Detectives are still working on that. We've ID'd the suspect. We're working on ID'ing the second suspect. And I will go into, if you'd like right now, the numbers for citations for Snowflake in the past few weeks.
Okay, that'd be great.
Okay. So the first claim that we had come in on January 23rd, for that weekend, we only had 42 citations issued, but mostly that was only due to because on Saturday, as most of everybody knows, there's a 20-car pileup on Highway 2, where both deputies that were up here assigned to the snow patrol actually assisted most of the day, assisted CHP with traffic control, so they weren't actually out issuing citations. During the week, in between Monday and Thursday, there was 20 citations issued for Snowflake, and then this past weekend, well, it was extremely busy. From Friday to Sunday, deputies issued 183 citations. So as for since December 28th to January 31st, we have issued 728 total citations for Snowflake or related offenses.
Oh. Now, I have a question in regards to the CHP folks. And maybe next time you could ask them to come, I'll invite them to come to the meeting because I know there's some concerns about Highway 2.
Right.
And the CHP involvement there.
Yeah, I will make contact with CHP and give them a heads up about the meeting and see if he or one of their representatives can join. Since I've been doing this, I've only been able to do the Zoom meetings, so I don't know if they were always, if they attended the actual in-person meetings prior or not. But I will definitely make contact with them for the next meeting.
Yeah. I know I've got a couple of questions, some questions for the CHP on how they handle Highway 2, because I know that's their patrol area, Highway 2.
Correct.
And half of Lone Pine, right?
Right.
San Bernardino County, because San Bernardino comes up halfway out. Okay.
So, on the tickets or the fines, are those the $150 type of fines, or are there different ones?
It depends. They vary. So, some of them, I don't have a breakdown of what each individual one, because so far there's been over 700 of them. I know a lot of them that I've reviewed are for the Snowflake. The Snowflake is a $150 fine. However, there's variations. Some people may, if you see like snow that's been pushed to the side of the road and people that are partially over the white line but still in the roadway, that's a $250
fine.
Wow.
Okay, so you're now obstructing the roadway, not just Snowflake. Sometimes they may just get citation for parking in a no parking area. It just depends on the deputy and the circumstance where they're at and what the actual infraction is.
Thank you.
Yes. And
are we recording the meeting, Leo?
Oh.
I have an audio recording of the meeting going.
Do you?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Then I'll just leave this phone. Thank you, Katie, and thank you, Lori.
Mm-hmm.
And also to let you know, one of my deputies is currently working on getting a hold of county yards to try to get three signs posted on the three entrances into the Redwood area, Highway 2, Lone Pine, and coming in from the L.A. side, that advise everybody. Just small signs, just simple signs. But it helps us as law enforcement out with the fines, but there's simple fines to explain that there is no Snowflake allowed in the Redwood area and that you may receive a citation for $150 and with the county code as well. But I'm still requesting, though, if that's all possible, if you put that information out maybe on the website so it's out there to other communities, because most of the citations that we're issuing right now are being issued to people from outside of San Bernardino County.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Lori,
I will take care of that.
The one is the $150 for Snowflake, and the other one is the $250 if they're in the right of way road. Is that going also the when the people are in the lane putting chains on? Is that the $250?
It can be. It's to the discretion of the deputies. Now, a lot of the deputies, obviously, if there's somebody pulled over trying to put chains on, and they're pulled over to the road enough where vehicles can still pass, they may not issue a citation. A lot of times, deputies are still just giving warnings. Like, if they start walking down a row of cars to issue citations and there's someone sitting in their vehicle and they can move their vehicle, they're not going to issue a citation for that vehicle as long as they move right away. Or, if, you know, they're not going to issue a citation to a vehicle that's obviously broken down, that may be waiting for a tow truck or something like that for whatever reason. It's to the discretion. The deputies aren't just going out and blanketly issuing citations to everybody. If they can make contact with people and have people move their vehicles before a citation is issued, that's fine. But as you know, most people will park their vehicles and then walk off to go play in the snow, so there's nobody around for us to contact, and that's when they get a citation.
Okay, because I see it, well, I see it over and over and this weekend as well, because once car stops in the lane, puts chains on, then everybody else will start to do it. And all of a sudden,
right.
I have 10 cars in the lane. I said, are you kidding me? This is crazy.
Yeah, I personally saw a lot of that on Lone Pine Canyon.
Yeah.
You see it mostly on the highways, Lone Pine Canyon and Highway 2, before they ever get into town. And it would have been nicer to have Caltrans that put up a chain control, like maybe on Lone Pine Canyon, before they got up the mountain, just right past, you know, the 138, to get people ready, because from what I personally saw was right before you got into town, people were just stopping in the middle of lanes. They weren't even trying to pull over.
Right.
Just stopping in the middle of lanes, putting chains on.
And same thing on the, because of the bridge is closed,
right.
A lot of traffic on that side, people getting out of town because of waves, because of that, another way out. So it was a desert front road to Lone Pine, and people didn't have chains, and people were sliding just on that 50, you know, the 50 feet or the 100 feet, just getting to Lone Pine because of all the, because they didn't have chains on. So then you have a mess. And then everybody's going over to Orchard to get up on Lone Pine Canyon to go by, down Lone Pine Canyon. Anyway, it's just, sometimes people just don't get it.
Yeah, this weekend seemed to be a perfect storm, you know, having a large amount of snowfall on Thursday and Friday, and then Saturday just being completely clear. I invited a lot of people to come up, you know, to enjoy the snow that. And obviously with, you know, COVID, most of the weather attractions are closed down right now, so playing in the snow is only often a lot of people have.
No, and I just want to thank you. You live here in Wrightwood, and you know the ins and outs, and you know the sensitive areas, and having chain control down along Pine, like you suggested, and, you know, the signs and things of that sort, and that really helps. And if we could get the CHP involved with this as well, because I know I did see a couple of guys in their cars, but I didn't see a whole lot of tickets going out, especially on Highway 2. It was just a mess.
Yeah, I'm not sure what their directive is as far as issuing citations. Like I said, my guys know pretty much when we issue citations to in the hot spots of, you know, where we're having a lot of issues, like right now on roads or mountains and such.
Yeah, you had one deputy there the whole day on.
Pretty much, yeah. That deputy's already no relation. He is our Wrightwood deputy that's assigned up here, so he knows where all the issues are. So.
Okay. Is there any other questions out there?
Well, I was just going to
say, were the signs that you put up the digital signs that we talked to Caltrans about, or they just regular ones?
The signs that we're talking about putting up would be stationary year-round signs that would just indicate when you come into town that during snow times, that snow play is prohibited in the actual town of Wrightwood, and that you may receive a fine. That way, it's for us that we can go back when I do reviews of citations. I can actually go back and tell people there's signs when you come into town that tell you that you can't do that, and that's why you got a ticket. So it makes it easier for us to quash the fight back on the citation itself. But additionally, on top of that, I've been requesting additional no parking signs on certain hotspot areas like Wright Mountain Road, where you have that open area for people to go play in the snow.
I have two things. Both are actually
great. All right, thank you.
So, Lori, when in addition to putting it on what Sergeant suggested to putting on our website about ticketing and snowplay not being allowed and those kinds of things, would you also reach out to the Chamber of Commerce? Because I would think that that would be the more likely website people from out of town would end up on.
Sure.
It'd be great to have it in both places. And also, could you do some research on what the cost of such signs would be for us to have some permanently installed year-round signs that go over what he just suggested?
Sure. The only issue is with the Chamber of Commerce, I'm not sure that anybody's in their office.
Maybe we could email them to start?
Yeah, I can do that. It may take a while to get a response is what I'm going to.
Sure, yeah. Leo, we
have a hand
raised from
the Redwood Property Owners.
Okay,
Hello.
Hello.
This is Randy.
Oh, Randy, thank you.
The Redwood Property Owners is funding the We Tip program for Wrightwood. I want to let everybody know. And I was going to ask Sergeant if it would be possible to get a copy of the reports that he's getting so we can see what's happening and put them in our newsletter and let people know how well it's working.
We can't actually hand out the actual week tips that we get. Anybody can call in to week tip and give us information. One of my jobs is when a week tip comes into my office, I review it to see if it's even workable. I can tell you, for the past year, we got we tips for suspicious activity, drug sales, a DUI, animal cruelty, and burglary. So with like suspicious activity, somebody may call in a we tip that says, hey, somebody staying at this house is awake all night and making loud noises. Well, that's not really, a crime that we're going to go out after the fact to investigate. But like I said, the we tip that we did receive for the burglary has some pertinent information to the investigation, which is helping that investigation along. Those are the type of stuff that we like. A lot of the week tips we get though, unfortunately, they're too vague for us to do anything with. They give a general area, they don't give any information on a possible suspect. There's just not enough information for us to work off of. I can't really give out the actual week tips themselves because sometimes they do contain people's names and information in.
Okay, thank you.
See that Gail's got a hand up.
All right, thank you. I had a question for Sergeant Solorio. I was confused. You said there are going to be three signs that are going to be put up by the Sheriff's Department?
Well, what we're doing right now is the deputy's going to contact the county yards to see how much it's going to be to do that, see if we're allowed to kind of push that along. The deputy that's actually doing this worked traffic many years in the city of Victorville, so he's used to knowing where signs should be, and he has those contacts. So that's why he's kind of spearheading it right now.
So that's why Michelle asked how much to find out how much it's going to cost. Yeah. That's where I got confused. I thought you were talking about different signs, but you got the same signs.
Yeah, those three signs that we're talking about is for us to notify the public when we come into the town that snowplay is illegal, put up the county code section, and how much the fine could be. That helps us out when someone is fighting their citation thing. I didn't see any fines. I can tell them, well, there is fines, as you come into town. I don't know if that's going to be, if that we're going to be able to completely follow through with that, if that's something that another agency may have to do, but if the deputy's looking into see how much it's going to cost to see if it's a feasible option.
So we don't have a timeline on that at all yet?
No.
Okay, that's what I wanted to know. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So, Sergeant, did I misunderstand that that's the cost we would need to cover?
I don't know yet. That's what the deputy's going to look into.
Okay.
He just brought this to my attention the other day when we spoke about it, and they told me, go for it if you have the contacts with county yards and stuff like that. Let's try to get the ball rolling. Most likely anything as far as signage goes isn't going to happen until before next snow year. So, but like I said, I was curious to see how much it would cost at least those three signs. There's something that we can at least get going so we can notify the public about the no snow play.
Okay. No other questions. No other hands out there. Thank you, Sergeant.
Thank you very much.
And I know we got the county supervisor representative here, CJ. Let me unmute him. There you go, CJ. How are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Great.
So just a couple quick things. We're still working on getting information as to whether or not CFC is eligible for some of the funding from the Snowflake High System. Our office right now is working with the sheriff's office and their legal counsel. They're waiting for them to review it and get back to us on that. So if we get more information on that, we'll send it over to Lori to get back to that. So that's going on that front. And then also with the COVID vaccinations, I'll go ahead and post it in the chat, the link to the county website regarding the vaccinations for any other questions. That website's updated periodically, and so it should have up-to-date information. Currently, we're still in phase 1-3, but those 65 and older are eligible to receive the vaccine right now, and you can make appointments online as well. So I'll go ahead and post that information in the chat. If you guys have any questions, I'm more than happy.
No, and we should probably
get your questions. That,
go ahead, Chuck.
Yeah, CJ, the stuff that you're trying to find out from the treasurer,
yeah.
from Cook's office. Are we looking at next year before we even get an answer on stuff like that? Is that the way the government works?
Yeah, I honestly don't know. One of our constituent services reps at the radio office working with the treasurer and with the sheriff's department to kind of figure out if the board is allowed to redirect some of that funding, or the board supervisors, if they have that power. So that's kind of where we're at right now. It's kind of the legal processes. If that's a possibility, and if we find out information, we'll know. So I don't have the timeline.
So is do you know much more about the vaccinations? Are they going to ramp up more next week and in the weeks following?
I know today they had a mass vaccination done in Montana, I believe. A lot of this depends on the vaccine supply we're getting from the state. I think we're the county's pumping them out pretty quickly, but again, all the information on the county website is posted in the chat. We were planning on getting into phase 1B here pretty soon, but we don't have anything to state yet.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much, CJ.
Thank you.
Is there any other agencies out there?
I guess not.
Okay, let's move to the approval on a consent calendar. Can I have an approval for that, or a motion to approve the consent calendar?
Before you make an approval, I wanted to point out one thing on the minutes that I wasn't sure was correct. At the start of the meeting, Leo, you were vice president, and Chuck was just a member. That's how I listed it on the minutes. I don't know if that needs to be corrected or not. That's a question for Steve.
I think Steve needs to be unmuted.
Oh, sorry.
Am I good? Yeah, no, it's fine that way.
Okay.
I move we accept the consent calendar, or approve the consent calendar.
Do I get a second?
I'll second the motion.
All approve? Aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye.
So I also need, the next item is the January 5th review of the board minutes meetings. Has everybody reviewed them, and is there any issues or anything with that? Looking at 6A. Okay.
It should say 5A, not 6A.
Yeah. General Manager's report. Oh, so Chuck?
I couldn't tell if Chuck voted to approve the consent calendar or not, so I didn't know if you had issues with the minutes.
No, I heard.
Not at all. I seconded and got overturned, and I voted A, yes. So, no, I have no problem with it.
General Manager's report, Lori.
Okay. This month we added two portable restrooms over by the pedestrian gate at the elementary school on Pine. Two of the portables from the community building parking lot will be removed tomorrow. So we'll have a total of still 10 units. We're working on the updated signature card. Patrick Boyle of the Wrightwood Market donated some toilet paper for the portable restroom. I'm starting to work on the 2021-2022 dump cards. The board biographies, swearing in, and pictures have been loaded on the website. We have two payments remaining on the 2017 election costs. The cost for the 2020 election will be billed towards the end of March or beginning of April. We were able to fix the broken bridge piece on the playground structure. And as CJ Porter from the representative's office, we're still looking to get information about the ticket money and where that's being directed. I also spoke to Captain Martinez yesterday. He is the captain for the Victorville Sheriff's Department. He is saying that if we have issues up here, posting them on Facebook does not get any service. We need to call in. So if you hear of any issues that are happening, you need to let your people know, call the Sheriff's Department. If it's on residential roads, the Sheriff's Department is in charge. If it's on Highway 2, it's Caltrans and the CHP. So we need to make sure that we're making those reports.
Hey, Lori, here's an idea also. If we have a whole lot of folks that are a part of our email list, we could put a short email out there when the snow starts to come. So if it has a heads up that says, you know, if you got people in your yards, please call the Sheriff's Department and here's the phone number. Just an FYI, because I know in the Property Owners Association, they're a part of this list and they could shoot it out to their email blast. And I think that'll cover a lot of folks here locally, just to give them a FYI, because, you know, it's frustrating for everybody to see what's going on, but I think if they know what to do, and we do this all the time for the last 3.5 years, but we just need to continue to push it out there, the communication.
Yep, I will do that.
Lori, I just want to say thank you for fixing the piece of the bridge that was broken. And I also wanted to ask about the restrooms. Since we last talked, has it seemed like, you know, it's been an improvement based on what the condition was before till now?
Well, I was there both Saturday and Sunday of this past weekend checking the restrooms. And I can tell you on Sunday I had to lock two of them, and we actually had 12 restrooms because we've got two extra that are paid for until tomorrow. So that's when they're going to remove them. But, you know, having the 10, it seems to help. I noticed that the two over by the elementary school, they were getting quite a bit of usage. So I'm thinking that might have helped a little bit as well. I'm just worried about the extra cost of these extra pumpings every week. It's just way too much expense.
Yeah, but we gotta take care of our community and
what are they costing?
The extra pumping is The extra pumping is $350 a week. A week.
Is that for pumping all the units?
That is for pumping all 10 units.
We sent you back. What was the reasoning for that?
Because I only had 10. I wasn't told to keep 12. I was told to move to the elementary school, not add to. So because they were already paid for, they're staying until tomorrow. Because we don't get a prorated refund from Andy Duck. So as long as they're paid for, we're gonna use them.
And, you know, if you look at the forecast coming up the next couple of weeks, next week, it doesn't look like we're going to get much snow.
Correct. It's melting like crazy.
And it's melting like crazy. Yeah, it's melting like crazy.
How quickly can we get them out there if we see a storm coming? Is that a quick process to get them back?
No. Andy Duff, well, yes and no. Andy Gump only comes out up here on Fridays. That's it. Septic Control will come out within 24 to 48 hours. So the problem being is that I'm worried about is the cost. We do not have these costs in our budget, so that's a concern for me.
So for the porta-potties themselves, the rental for the month is $35, right?
No. No.
Oh.
The rental on them is approximately $150 per unit, and that includes one cleaning per week by Andy Gump. Should we require a second cleaning on Mondays because they're full, that's an additional $35 per unit.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry about that. Okay. I was just trying to play out in my brain if it would be cheaper just to keep them here and lock them so we don't have to show this time or not, but it doesn't sound like it.
Well, I would say I locked them. I locked two of them, but then I got an email from Patrick Boyle saying he was there Sunday night, and I'm guessing that maybe somebody unlocked them because he said that some of them were full. So I'm like, okay, I had two of them fully locked, so I don't know.
Mm-hmm. You know, Sadie, it's a pretty close draw, 35 times 4, mm-hmm. $140 compared to $150 for another porta potty for the month. So it is something to... And maybe consider in future years, too, having more spread more throughout town.
Mm-hmm.
So we need some of the businesses and that kind of thing, and some of the litter that gets left everywhere when people get the side of the street.
Just remember, the more you spread them out, the harder it is for the staff to maintain them.
Well, just around different partnership.
Partnership would be great.
Hey, I'm going to unmute Patrick real quick. Patrick, are you there?
Hi, everybody.
Hey.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, thanks for getting the toilet paper.
You're welcome. I think that high-density toilet paper works better getting you through a day so somebody doesn't have to be there refilling it every few hours.
Yeah, I've got a note to order more this week, so...
Any other comments? Lori, anything else?
That is it as far as I know right now.
Okay.
We have a comment from Wendy.
Yeah, Leo. Okay, I'm looking for Wendy right now. There she is. Here we go. Hi, Wendy.
Hi, I just have a question regarding the budget that was Lori was mentioning. I just wondered, in the 7 years that we have been here, we've seen a huge increase in the amount of people that have come up. And so when she mentioned that it's not in the budget, I just wonder how often, is this a budget that's the same budget that was 7 years ago and it's now the same budget 7 years later, or is it increasing every year? How are you accommodating for the population increase that I've seen personally, my husband and I have seen just over the last 7 years, obviously more people, more need for bathrooms?
That's a very good question. Matter of fact, CSB was started in July of 2017, and from that point forward, we've gone through the budget process, and matter of fact, Chuck, if you want to chime in, Chuck helped establish this year's fiscal budget, and there was some adjustments made, and we do make adjustments year to year. Chuck, are you there?
Yes, I am, and because of the COVID, we don't get revenue on renting out the community center like we had in the past. We're not getting the revenue from the sports leagues, which we had in the past because of COVID. Monica and Natalie put that program together, not only the softball, but the, flag football and a few other ones that they had done, where we actually made money on those park
activities,
programs, games, whatever you want to call it. But the reality is, they did a great job. After paying all the expenses the last year, we actually made a couple bucks to help our general fund. Now, this year, because we had to shut it all down, we don't have that revenue coming in anymore. The tax base, where if you have new people coming in, and this is something, CJ, maybe you can help us with too, normally if you get new people coming in or buying homes, they usually, the tax for that home usually goes up. And I have not seen anything coming from the county that shows that we've gotten additional money from the county on property that has been sold or, you know, bought by new people coming in.
Chuck, I get reports on those monthly.
Chuck, that comes on the regular rolls that Lori works on, revenue rolls.
Yeah, I get those monthly.
Lori gets all that information.
Love to see it. But that's basically where we get our revenue from, unless we can create, and I don't want to jump ahead of the winter traffic meetings, but we had some great suggestions from the public. We held three of those meetings, and I'll talk about those later along with Sadie. But there were some, you know, there were some good comments and ideas that were brought forward for revenue aspects of it. The porta potties was not brought into the discussion of the budget last year. We didn't really have the cold weather that we had this year to where our normal bathrooms are freezing. And that's the reason that we went to the porta potty. We're not in a position, even though we have the power, we're not in a position to even contemplate looking at sewers at this moment in time because we don't have the money. And I know Lori got information from Ben up at Mountain High. I guess they have a separate facility that allows them to do the sewers, but we're not even in the ballpark on that type of stuff. And I know Natalie and Michelle are going to be talking about the grants and those types of things, at least for the east side. But I don't know, we'll probably go after the budget again a little bit later this year. And, you know, I'd love to see the additional money that's supposedly coming in from the county. That'd be great to know.
So none of the money can be used for additional porta potties and the servicing of those porta potties during this time of year?
Sure. Anything that we want to use that money for, we can. What do you want to take away? And
I don't know what's on the table.
Money, do you want to add to your taxes?
Wendy, the budget for the year is actually on the CMB website if you want to review it. Yeah, but my question wasn't really what the budget is. My question was, has it grown over the last 7 years? Yes. It's reviewed every year. It's reviewed every year and redone.
Okay, got it. So if there's a need to add more porta potties, that money can come from the grant that was given. Is that correct?
The grant? No, it cannot.
We don't have a grant yet.
Okay.
We don't have a grant. We have a regular budget that we've been working with for the last couple of years. So we're not, that's a whole different subject. So we will, Chuck and the board will review the budget at the end of this year, and we'll make the appropriate adjustments to make sure that we've got monies allocated, more monies allocated. Again, it all depends upon how this COVID, how the revenues come in or not coming in. So, you know, we're running it really tight right now, and that's just because right now it is what it is.
But also, we have added porta potties this year.
Yes,
we we've added from what we had planned for based on the need that we saw present. In addition to that, just to clarify, because the CFP was only created 3 years ago, we weren't in charge of the budget 7 years ago. The county was. And so we've only had 3 years of actually being in charge of the budget. But we have accommodated as much as we financially
have been able to so far. But you raise a great point for next year's budget.
And of course, since the last meeting, we asked Lori to make sure that if the bathrooms were getting out of control, that something was done, and that's kind of what we're talking about here. And, you know, Lori said that it's, you know, over our budget, but we've asked her to do that so that we are keeping conditions nice here so that people don't have to use the restrooms when they're in bad shape.
Yeah, or businesses restrooms like
you know, the
cafeteria.
Yeah.
Right?
Me too. Anyway, I'd love to see some help from Supervisor Cook, because we're not talking Wrightwood residents. We're talking half of Southern California that comes up here when they see snow on the mountain. And I'd like to see a little help from the county to help address this problem, because
Leo, should we move to the winter tourism to discuss this?
Chuck, let's move this to the next the topic that you'll be talking down later on. Okay. We can stay on this
is our next agenda item.
Okay. Thank you.
In relation to the porta potties, on the last meeting that we had in January,
Chuck,
I had asked Lori to go.
Okay. Chuck, we're going to take on item number 15, which we moved up to number 7, and that's the Winter Tourism Standing Committee.
Okay, and this is the Winter Tourism Standing Committee, which is Vice President Franklin and Board Member Sadie Albers, and they were going to discuss the findings of the meetings that they had in January.
Leo,
I got it. I'm working it.
Mute myself on another sleepy joy in
Okay. Thank you.
Chuck, do you want to go first?
Go ahead.
Okay.
Go for it.
Okay. So Chuck and I had a very daunting task here to try to tackle this whole issue. It originally started with the porta potty issue and then the traffic. We realized that we had to lump this all together, and it turned into the Winter Tourism Committee. And thank you, Chuck, for being very patient with me this month. I had a difficult transition between jobs, so I'm now at a new job, and I work from home, so it is awesome. But even with all the challenges, we actually held 3 public meetings, 2 of them with the community members and 1 with public agencies. The first meeting was held after hours, or at 10 a.m., and then one on a Saturday, and then the agency was the next weekend. So we heard from a lot of the public and really tried to clean through some of the ideas and move forward with the things that are actually tangible and that we could work with and within our parameters and everything. So to kind of break down the ideas that we have, and then I think Chuck will offer some commentary on top of it, but in the immediate, things that we've already handled, taken care of, you guys have heard already in the beginning of this, was that we've gotten more porta-potties, the hardware store got more porta-potties, we've increased the cleaning, we've increased mid-week cleaning, we've adjusted and provided 2 porta-potties for the school. And so that has helped already. We obviously have to find 2 more, and that's what we were asking questions earlier, whether it be cheaper to keep it and try to get it with a major storm. But a lot of that is just predictive analytics there and being able to ebb and flow with the weather conditions, that way we're not wasting resources with things that we don't need in the current time. And immediately, CR&R has offered more dumpsters and trash reciprocals, and have offered to pick up more frequently. So that's something that's a great help to us. So again, just being predictive there, and Lori's been working with them to try to increase that. We'd like to see your dumpster be put back downtown. That way the trash receptacles are spread amongst where all of the people are. So we'll follow up with that. And then you heard from the agencies. We had a lot more support with the law enforcement agencies and whatnot this last weekend. I know it was still a challenge for everybody out there, but I went out and drove around and I sent some field for it, and I saw LA County deputies out there. I saw San Bernardino County deputies. I saw PAC. I saw someone at the stop sign, the traffic, and everything. So we've had a huge influx of law enforcement help there, which I think is good. And I'm hoping that kind of spurred from our agency meeting that we had, because it is a difficult area here with dealing with. When I write it down, there's like six different public agencies that we're dealing with National Forest and LA and San Bernardino County and Fire and all these different factors, and everybody has their own risk system and ability to enforce things. So we're kind of dealing with all of that, and we've been working closely with county and the CJ over there and making sure that hopefully we can get a portion of that ticket revenue and can pour that directly back into providing more officers for traffic enforcement or whatever else you need with that funding. So really just in raising key operations there. And then the emergency response is still a challenge, getting the fire truck and the ambulance to come up and get fire on here. But they have switched to 7 24-hour shifts. So somebody who's on shift will be there for 7 days straight working 24-hour shifts. That way, we'll always have support there, and then they've been sending out fire trucks instead of just ambulance. The fire truck is also staffed with paramedics, so they'll go out and do low-risk calls and see if they can kind of mediate a little bit of the ambulance. So that's what's currently happening. We also spoke with Caltrans about providing CMS signs, the digital messaging signs at the beginning of Highway 2. In Mountain Canyon, and we can ebb and flow that with what those signs say as well, whether they say change control in effect or no play ticket is 150 or no parking and heating traffic is 200, and those signs specifically from Caltrans have to be traffic related. So we will move forward depending on the board's direction there, but we'll move forward with those, and that would be during the high volume weekend with snow fires and traffic and all of that. So that'll be easy. So again, just looking at the agencies there.
Have we heard from Jocelyn? Jocelyn, Sadie, on
Jocelyn. Yeah, we can do it. We just have to tell her when and what.
Okay. So, and you're not with them anymore, is that correct?
No, I'm in a
Caltrans
agency now. But we have a working relationship.
Is there a cost to doing the signs or providing the signs?
Don't believe so. It depends on Caltrans. So the permit, usually the permit is like $119 if it is the cost. But we might be able to work with Caltrans and they would waive those fees potentially, because it would be beneficial to them as well, because they're obviously in charge of snowplow on the highway, so it benefits them to have those signs and be able to travel there as well.
Okay, is that 119 per sign?
I don't believe so, because there are two different permits, so there'd be two signs.
Okay.
That way they hit the 2 days in the town.
Okay.
But they're willing to work with us. The direction we gave Jocelyn at that agency meeting is that the board would decide how we want to move forward, and then we would get back to them with what we need. But they're pretty quick with that. It's a quick turnaround.
Okay.
We can work with their maintenance yards down there, the helicopters, if we handle a private area, and so we can work with them and see if we can just get it out on winter weekends and whatnot.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Yeah, we're all pretty good. So those are all of the immediate, Mr. Gardner at the Wright Elementary School, he was at our agency meeting, and he mentioned that he was looking into the idea of opening up that outfield for safe snow play. That way we could have little kiddos on the side of the highway trying to clean the snow. And he makes quick work of it, and I believe on the call today that he was able to go back to his risk analyst person, and they've decided that they would be willing to do that. So they did open up the top seal of the last snow. That way there was that big area. The caveat to that was that he was concerned about restrooms, and so Lori worked with him and was able to provide two portable restrooms in the area on that driveway to come out from the top seal. So I think that that will be super helpful as well, and the thing the board does need to do with that is that he would like us to revisit Captain's agreement with the school district. So that will be an action item for the board with whatever that looks like, but I guess they used to have an agreement with the county before to have that field as public park space.
The General Counsel Kennedy is actually working on that agreement with the school district.
Awesome. And we were concerned initially about trespassing or damage to the school district, and basically his opinion was that it's already, like, they're going to go on the field no matter what. We might as well make it sanctioned, and hopefully they don't cut more holes in our fence there. And so that was really helpful. So those are all the immediate things. And then it plays then into the long term, right? Because we know this is an ongoing issue. We know this is a yearly issue. We know that we need to move forward with everything. So a couple of the different options that were brought up by the community and different agencies is, we briefly talked about it last meeting, but a potential cost share with the businesses in town, to have them house the porta potty and help with the cost there and maybe do the maintenance. The lawyer was concerned about maintenance and the upkeep of that, so being able to share that with them. And then also providing the businesses in town trash bags that we can hand out to all of their customers, and then hopefully that will curb up some of the trash that's lying around town. And then, so communication and advertising, I think it's a big part here too, so we as a board just need to decide what that looks like. And if that is us saying that there's no snow play areas in Wrightwood, as the board had said earlier, because for people we have no snow play areas, then maybe that's what it looks like, or we focus more on like packing and packing out with the trash, or no parking or what have you, and those would be relatively easy efforts. I do this for a living, so I could definitely help out making flyers, and you can hit the news and social media, and maybe some partnerships with like Bastro and other places that sell snow items to have them post flyers or something of that sort. So some sort of integrated advertising communication for the long term ongoing. And then some other ideas was, obviously, we need revenue. We don't have the money that we want to be able to support the business structure, so we have quite a few different ideas floating around for revenue. One of them is charging for parking, which nobody seems to like the idea, but I think it would be really effective. Some other ones are to do like a thrift store like Hellendale is, or to have a booth at the farmer's market. And then also maybe something for Mountaineer Days or the car show weekends, or some creative something to supply money that way we can either get further enforcement with law enforcement or to have traffic control. I personally think we need traffic control and about the right mountain road and highway 2. Because I sat there for 21 minutes just chilling, waiting for people to go on the highway, but the highway's backed up, and there's no turn lane right there. And so, sat there forever, and then got to town, and the post office was great. Had an officer fly and drop it back and forth, and it was smooth sailing, but not the other place. So, we definitely need to think creatively for things such as that. And then more, I guess, deeper, perhaps, ideas from agency specific is to put K-rail, so those big cement structures basically on the side of the freeway. So put those at the top of Long Pine. I think that's our most pressing issue where people were double parking or turning back into a one single lane or pulling over to do chains. That top for Long Pine, that's really tight. If we could throw a couple
Gabriel's up there, and I really make it impossible to park there because it's such a dangerous spot. And anywhere else, it could be necessary or needed. I'm not sure the cop there, so we'd have to look into that. Obviously, signs are signs. The deputy was saying that people just run them over. The metal signs people run them over, so they don't see the ticket. The CMS signs, the big digital ones, those will work. But if we can get some cement barriers to have during the winter months or something, that would be helpful. And then the other thing that would require quite a bit more research is defining like a hazardous condition when the cars are parked so terribly and we cannot get emergency vehicles through town. And if we can do some sort of declaration. The fire department recommended this, you know, if it's evacuation then and the emergency vehicles can't get through, they make a designation for the roads to only have residents or the roads can only do XYZ. And so if it really is that bad, then we need to think of alternative things like that. Just think about if there's a fire, if there's an earthquake, if there's something, our roads cannot handle that and as just for the way that they're parked. So I don't know what that looks like, but that's a very deeper potentially solution in worst case scenario.
Daniel, can I ask you, do you know who if we're able to do something like that, like close the road down to residents only, who handles that? Like who would be the person who would
that would be CHP because they would be in charge of the highway and most of zone signs. And what I've been told is that they're very, very hesitant to do that because it is a public road and so it would be a challenge to set that down, and that's where whoever is in charge of declaring that as we need a road, express road, but we need that, and this is resident only road, then we would have to be able to designate that.
Okay.
It's
possible to do it, though. It's not impossible.
It's possible, and we just have to really think about the liability there for us and for the emergency services and for providing proper access on these grass planes. And like, it could be so bad if the earthquake hit and all these cars are everywhere. So it's possible, but it would take a lot of lobbying, I think. And then the other idea that the fire department had was going back to towing, which is very effective, and I know we've talked about that before for political issues. But I think that proper notice to the residents in the community, because that was an issue last time, right, is the residents didn't know they were going to get towed, and they got towed.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if we actively communicate and work with the property owners and work with the Chamber of Commerce and all of that and get notice out to the residents, like, hey, you know, you normally park here when you go on a hike on the weekend, but this weekend we're doing strict enforcement, people are towing vehicles, and blah, blah, blah. And once the people parked in the wrong spot see that the car was getting towed, then, you know, they're not going to park there. That'll quickly solve the problem.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much a high level of all of the ideas and meetings, and there's a lot of different avenues to go through each of these, so I'm happy to see that in the immediate, we've got a lot done already, and there's been a lot of progress, but I think it's going to take more board direction and some hard thinking to solve it in the long term. And with that, Chuck, I don't know if you have comments to add.
No, I think you covered just about it all, baby.
So what are the next steps? And first of all, Chuck and Sandy, I really appreciate all the efforts that you did on this. A lot of information that's out there. You know, it's nice to have it all gathered in an area, and I'm sure Lori was helping you guys a part of this as well, because she's going to be tied into a lot of this stuff because she's the general manager there, but I really appreciate both of your guys' efforts. So what are the next steps now moving forward?
Well, Chuck had to kind of flex my brain a little bit and tell me that, you know, I wanted to run down all these avenues and do everything and fix everything, and that's just the way I'm the person. But, you know, our role as a committee is really to present this to the board and kind of decide what the best mechanism to move forward is. But my recommendation is that we're already doing it, a follow-up of the lease agreement with the school district. We work with Caltrans to get some sort of workflow in order to get those TMS times out on weekends that we need it. And then perhaps, I think it would be them that would have to pay rails, work with them for pay rails for the top of loan time. And then just advertising, I think, to get that rolling and work with Lori to get that out on social media moving forward. So I think what we would need the board's help with is finding that alternative revenue, that idea that could stick, that we could raise some money and have some stuff done if we need an extra portfolio or we need something. And then in emergency or something different, you know, we need that extra money to put us. We don't have it as a board, and that would be really helpful if we don't find something that would work for the long term.
Do you have a proposal, or did you guys decide on, like, a recommended course of action for it, or?
Not for the fundraising, per se.
I have two questions, one question, actually, to start. You brought up the K-Rails, and I try very hard to stay off loan client at this time of year, so I'm not as directly familiar with people stopping in the middle of the road. I have witnessed this before, but both the sergeant and Leo mentioned that repeatedly tonight. So my concern about K-Rails at that part of loan time is, would that then mean the people aren't even attempting to pull off? They just stop in the middle of the road? And if so, maybe that's safer. I don't know, because then it just stops traffic instead of people trying to get around. But I wondered if any thought has been given to that. But yeah, I'm assuming you're talking about the windy part, that last winding part of loan time, which is so sketchy when there's no one on it, but there's ice, but...
I was hoping that that would play directly into the sign that we put at the bottom of Long Pine. So if the situation is that chains are needed to get up it, maybe that's what Long Pine says, is that you cannot come up Long Pine without chains. And I do think maybe that the bottom of the road might be safer. I wanted to put together a PowerPoint of all the pictures that people posted, and I did you not Long Pine, like the narrow area, people are first in one full lane. And then walking on the other side. So then you're like, yes, do I keep driving to and for open doors? And I was brainstorming with my family. I'm like, is this just like naiveness? Is this ignorance to the issue? Is this, what is it? And I think, honestly, like, they don't understand what a major road that is.
Yeah.
And they see other people pulled over and people are snowplowing and they're still way around with one lane, like they don't know any different. So we have to create an environment where they know they're curious about it. And whether that's in communication and advertising or if that's not payrolls and you think it's maybe 10 on top or what, but it just seems like they just aren't unaware. Same as right now, right? I don't know if you guys traveled on that, but completely parked all the way down and.
They're on Highway 2. I mean, they do it on something called a highway, because I live on the other end of town, and they do it all along the Apple, the Wash, and they're hanging in the middle of the road and walking around. And
even so, like, I was kind of impressed. You get a couple points for, like, parking sideways because you're off of the road, but then I'm looking at that minivan that's parked sideways, so once the sun goes down, I'm like, you ain't getting out of that. Like, now we got all the truck. And
we have a comment out there. Wendy has a question real quick.
Yep. And then I have one more question after that.
Okay.
And I also have a question on Sierra.
But we got a, I'm trying to unmute you, Wendy.
You just muted her back. Mm-hmm. Or she muted herself, one of the two.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So, Matt Baldy just closed their highway this past weekend when capacity in that area was breached. So, knowing that the fire department enforces capacity limits in restaurants, do you happen to know who enforces capacity limits in unincorporated towns like ours?
Great question.
I think that's a question for Steve, probably.
Is Mount Baldy unincorporated as well? Is Mount Baldy an unincorporated area?
I would think so, but I don't know.
Well, that is a great question, and I see that my friend Pamela Wright has also loaded up a few questions on the chat. So to your question, Ms. Thomas, I don't know the answer to that one. The CSD doesn't have that authority, but that's certainly something that we can follow up and research to see who does. With respect to the questions that are on the chat, there was a question that was brought up about the state law empower the CSD to employ park rangers. Can a park ranger give a citation? And yes, the CSD can adopt an ordinance as it relates to its park and rec functions and can control the activities on its property. You do not have the ability to control activities off the property, even though you're a public agency. So there have been situations where various community services districts have adopted ordinances, their own ordinances, independent of what the DA's office may prosecute for violation of county regulations or state law. The CSC does have the ability to enforce its own ordinance, similar to municipalities enforcing building codes and that kind of thing. So that could be something that the district could contemplate, but the expansiveness is pretty narrow. It really only relates to property that the district owns.
Could it be like the community building?
Correct. The community building, any other property.
Parking lot.
So how would we go about finding who enforces the capacity limits in town? Like, which avenue should we go to?
Does CJ know? I'm wondering if CJ knows.
It would seem to me it would be county, but...
For the fire department?
I don't have knowledge of that.
Not too sure, but I'll go ahead and see if we can find out CJ. I'll look more.
Yeah, because I would think that since CHP and Caltrans are the ones responsible for closing the roads, that might be the avenue to go down.
I also think that Mount Baldy, though, is very unique in the sense that there's, I believe, only one way in and out, where Wrightwood is a through city. So it would be hard to gauge even what capacity is if people are just driving through.
That's true. That's a good point.
Good point.
Yeah.
Thank you, Wendy.
Sadie, I had a question about the K-rails. How easy are those to put in and remove? And if we put them in somewhere like that and we got weather and we needed the road plowed or the county needed to plow the road there, would it be problematic to have those in? Would it create a complication?
That's a really good question, probably something that we'll have to ask Caltrans. I would imagine that it would be more of a thing that we request when we enter winter. Like during the months, we need this at the top of runtime, so it'd be a one in, one out sort of thing.
And we definitely need
sure about, I'm assuming there would be breaks or something if they could snow plow stuff.
Yeah.
And
but I mean, if they were lying completely through the S turn and we got consistent weather on them, I think that could be problematic.
I don't think it would be consistent. It would just be on like a more on a part where you think you might be able to park, that would be one. But where it's super close to the side or something, I would
have. Okay.
So that's just my opinion. I'm not a traffic engineer. So
let's go one more public comment out here. It looks like Nancy.
And then I want to get the next question I had in.
Okay. Then we got to move on.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. I was, when you look into the whole capacity, one thing that I would like to know is not only as a resident here, but as someone who works in the mountain, we have a lot of people who come from other areas, and Mountain High, along with other businesses, count on these people that are coming through. And although the traffic is hectic for those of us who are residents here, how are we going to limit the capacity when it comes to those businesses that, you know, you've got people coming from all over, And with I think the traffic made it really difficult, especially with Largo Vista being closed, and then people are parking all kinds of crazy ways on Highway 2, so when those snow players are trying to leave town, they can't go out any other way except for the same way that they came in, which is either off of Lone Pine or the 138. But I would be a little bit hesitant with the whole capacity as well when it comes to businesses that have employees that do not live in our town, and also Mountain High that relies on all these other outside people to keep it going.
Yeah.
Okay, I wanted to get a little clarity. Thank you, Sadie. Sadie, on the fundraising ideas, first of all, I really liked this idea for a long time, the idea of partnering with businesses and also looking at the porta potties that cost a quarter to use or something like that. I don't know. I know I brought that up years ago and it didn't seem very feasible, but if that is possible, that would be great. But I did have a question. You said something about putting a booth at the farmer's market. What would be sold?
I just don't know what products we have or what
would we be doing that would bring revenue there?
Well, I think the initial idea that was passed by a member of the community was just a thrift store.
Okay.
We can maybe do a thrift store thing or at the farmer's market, too, like even selling hot chocolate or water bottles or something that the store will bring in even a little bit of revenue.
Okay. Great, thank you.
Hey, any more questions on the board? John, where are you at, John?
I just wanted to thank Sadie and Chuck for all of this work. It seems like you covered a lot of ground in just a couple of meetings, so I appreciate the work you've done.
Well, Leo, you asked earlier about follow-up. I think we followed up with CJ to look at the treasury portion, to look at the fines, those types of things that we need answers from the county, number one. Number two is we talked to John Gardner at the school, and he was the one that basically suggested opening up the upper field,
right,
if to put a couple of porta potties there. And he got it done, you know, within a week of the meeting. And, you know, he had that opened up. He worked with Lori on getting the additional porta potties. And I think that showed, you know, as far as from John, his concern over getting the kids off the highway and at least giving them an area to play in. So that was done right away. The other things that we talked about, I mean, Wendy suggested up in Monterey at the 17-mile drive, they charge people. And if they bought something at the businesses, they got a rebate, those types of things. Unfortunately, that's a private road, and we can't do it on Highway 2.
Yeah.
Although I live off of Helen, and, you know, it might as well be a private road because it's, you know, everybody tries to get past that. Now, the signs were a big issue. Lori has dealt with somebody at county, I believe, on the different signs. Andrea wanted the signs on Cardinal because people would go up Cardinal figuring they could cut over and get into the town without realizing that there's a wash. And you still got to turn around and go back to Highway 2 in order to get down to the town. Because
yeah.
The first one that goes across is Spruce. So things like that were discussed. Some interesting ideas. And like I say, John, you know, stepped forward and actually completed one of the issues.
Just so the board is aware, and John is aware too, because I'm not sure he knows, that side gate was not open over the weekend when I was there. So I think maybe we have a communication issue there, but I'm assuming that will get taken care of.
Okay. One last question. I've got Cam real quick.
Unmute, Pam.
I'm trying.
No, I was just saying Panda on mute. There we go.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I saw on the internet that the supervisor representing Lake Arrowhead has scheduled a meeting with the local MAC regarding the snowflake problems there. And I'm wondering if CJ could help us arrange a meeting with our supervisor along the same lines. And you can see the agenda of what is going on at that meeting. And that supervisor called together all of the other heads of the other organizations that would be involved in doing the problem solving to help with the issue. That sounds like a really great approach to solving the problem, having someone be in charge of getting all of the people together to do some major problem solving. I think applause should go to our CSB by trying to handle it themselves, but it really does include all of the other agencies, and I think it would be wonderful if Supervisor Cook could host such a meeting for us, just like the other supervisor did for the other district.
I think this is something that has been done in the past. Robert's office did this, and I think the issue was that earlier this year, I should say last year, or later last year, they weren't thinking there was an issue because, you know, COVID is such a mess in that home office. But yes, this is something that, correct me if I'm wrong, it's something that I did it every year. We were both meeting, we got all the agencies to collaborate and come up with plans.
I'm just worried that the supervisor may not be aware of the devastation that the invasion, and I don't mean to call it an invasion, but really when you have 10,000 or 15,000 additional people come up and use your yard for a toilet, then it does feel like an invasion. But I think that people have a right to enjoy the forest and the snow, so I'm not complaining about that. But I think that we do need some help, and it is a big deal in Wrightwood, and I'm hoping that our supervisor will be able to tune in and understand what a big deal it is to this community.
And if that's something, if the CSB wants to set up a meeting with Paul, have Lori send me an email and people report scheduler.
I think that would be great.
I think that'd be great.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks, Sam.
Thanks, CJ.
Thanks, CJ.
Okay, we'll go ahead and move on and see.
And Sadie, in case you haven't seen, check out the chat. There's some other great suggestions for PM sessions.
Thank you, everyone.
Okay, we'll get on to the next topic, and that's financials for January, sorry.
Yeah, sorry. The January financials will be available at the March 2nd meeting.
Okay. Okay, so let's go on to number eight on my agenda here. It's the capital improvement plan.
Okay. I've reviewed the capital improvement plan prepared by the previous general manager, and I've updated the plan to reflect those items that have been completed. I've also updated the plan to reflect costs more closely associated with the actual costs that we might have. There's several items on the plan that should be completed this year. Due to fund restrictions, we can't complete all items. I have a list of 8 items that I would like to complete this year. With the board's okay.
Are these in order of priority, Lori?
No, they are not.
Okay.
They're in order of the ease of doing.
I'd really like to see them still at the top of the list of priority. We've discussed that there's some risk involved with it, and I think that should.
Yes.
If the pilot light like is still always, if the kitchen still smells like gas and all the things that created that, let us all be aware of the need to begin with are still there, then I'd really like to get that done.
I think right now, based upon no revenues, I think we just need to put everything on hold right now.
And
that's my opinion. I know we need to do some of these things, but I think we gotta wait.
I think we need to replace the stove.
the stove is a risk. It's been stated to me by multiple people who've used that kitchen, and the kitchen that would have brought any revenue has been used during COVID. And it's possible someone may request to use it again. And if it's going to be, if the stove's going to be used, we need to make sure it's safe for the building and the people using it.
I'd agree with that in the sense, well, there is a safety concern. If we're leaking gas, you know, we talked about it, hell, 2 years ago we talked about it. And, you know, from the safety standpoint, God, I would hate to have something happen there. I kind of, Michelle, like to hold off at least until next month when I can see some financials. Or maybe, Lori, I can come in and just meet with you and see what the updated financials are. I know Wendy has asked about, you know, what we can do and if we have extra money or whatever. But I'm in the dark right now. I don't know where we are financially.
I agree with the waiting for a month. And, I mean, because we have no plans right now for anybody to use the kitchen.
Before you go any further about waiting for the financials for one more month, just remember, March's meeting is going to be on the 2nd, so I won't have February financials done by the 2nd.
Right.
Because it has to be in the board packet?
Yeah, it has to be in the board packet, so I don't have enough time to get it posted.
Yes. But, and Vicki thinks that is exactly where I was going. Lori, if there's nobody using the stove this month, if we could disconnect it from the gas and just make it so that there's no way it's a risk at all till we're ready to replace it, I think that would be wise for us.
Yes, very much so.
And if, you know, if you're available, if we can sit down and go through what you got right now, as far as where the financials are, so I can be a little bit more intelligent when Wendy asks me a question.
You are welcome to come in and visit me anytime you want, Chuck, but I can guarantee you the financials are not going to be done tomorrow.
I'm not saying tomorrow, Lori.
Okay, I'm just saying, you got to give me a couple days.
Hey, Chuck, it's not just for your preview, it's for the rest of the board members as well.
I agree.
So I would like, I guess, if we'd like to see some more financials, obviously we're not going to be to a point where we get the most recent month until at least April, but I'd like to definitely keep the idea of replacing the stove or at least table that for a month, regardless of what is done with the rest of the list. The rest of the list all sounds great, but none of it seems particularly time-sensitive right now.
Agreed.
Especially considering we're not renting the building, and you know, so a lot of these places aren't being used. Right now, they're all covered with snow anyway. So,
Lori, we'll table this and put it on the agenda for next time, and then prioritize them from top to high priority to low priority, and then we'll review it at that time, and then once the financials are up, can the January financials go out on the internet as well, so we can take a look at it as board members?
Good question for Steve, I believe so.
Yeah, they can be posted.
Okay.
Yeah. And they would be drafts, and they would have to make sure that they're drafts and not approved.
Okay.
But there isn't anything that prohibits those being posted.
Yeah, so that would be well, then everybody has access to it, and we can see what's going on. So,
go ahead. I agree with you, Leo. That would help give everybody an idea of where we stand financially.
Yeah.
I'd also like to know if we had talked to you, Michelle, about the Eagle Scout that wanted to do stuff for the lighting for the community center.
Mm-hmm.
If that is still something that the young man is still interested in, or where does that stand right now? I know we put it on hold, but where does that stand? Is he still trying to get that for his Eagle Scout stuff?
Is that another topic for another agenda?
It is.
Okay. We'll put that on.
I will address that in just a little bit.
Okay. Anything else?
I lost my,
We're on number 9.
So we're basically tabling this.
Yes.
Yes. Until next. I just lost my agenda, so what's the next one?
The grant.
The topic that Chuck was just getting on to.
Oh, okay. Let's move on to that one. I can't get it on my phone.
So now, Natalie, would you like to start?
Yeah, I'll start off. So Michelle and I have been continuing to investigate the two proposals that we talked about, I think, in December. Is that right? Or November? One was to potentially put a road on the east side of Strong and build a dog park at the end of it. And the other was to do improvements to the Hollis Stewart Park and then to add a vertical stage and some other small projects. So I'm just going to speak to what I've learned so far on the East Side Park program. So I got the response from the county. I had submitted a pre-application plan, basically just kind of giving them a very general idea of what we wanted to do. And they responded to me and gave me, you know, the requirements that they would have for us as far as what we need to pay for permitting-wise and all that to get the project going. And this is really a general idea because we don't have an actual plan drawn up, you know, drawings or anything like that. So this is them just looking at, you know, our basic proposal and saying what will we need to do to accomplish this. And so they have told me that we would need to pull a minor use permit. We would need to get a topographic survey. We would need to do a grading permit. We would need to do a CEQA. We would need to do four studies. One is cultural resources study, one's a biological resources study, one's a vehicle miles.
You froze on the vehicle miles.
Oh, I'm sorry.
There you go.
A vehicle miles travel study and a traffic study. And we would also have to get an encroachment permit from Caltrans. And and we would have to get drawings done for the road and also for the park by a civil engineer. And so those are a lot of things. I know I just put on email, but I've been investigating all the prices for each individual cost that the county identified, and I'm pretty close to having all of them, but I still have some more that I need, you know, final answers on. So with that, I guess I'll move on to Michelle. Do you want me to move on to your proposal, or should I take questions about this right now?
Do our whole presentation, and then the people have questions.
Yeah, and I wanted to mention something to start off with. I wanted to start with this. I did find out that the park money can be used to build a road. That was a question that came up, and we had to go back and forth to try and find out the final answer for that. But we received confirmation from the park person that we're working with that we can, in fact, use the grant money to construct a road. And I also found out that we do not need water for this project. And that was one of the biggest pieces, was whether we would need water there, whether we need a hydrant, anything like that. And we do not need water, and we do not need restrooms.
Who from the state did you get to say that that was okay?
Her name is Lisa Vigil, and she is... I don't know her title, but Lori's talked to her as well. Lori, do you know her title? I think she's our grant representative.
She's our grant coordinator.
Yeah. Okay, so she's willing to write us a letter saying that is fine, us using grant money to do us a road for a developer, and that she's willing to sign it with her title on a state letterhead so that we have that in our record.
I haven't asked her in that particular manner, but she did email me and say that we could use the grant money to construct the road so long as we had some type of a deed or agreement with the property owners that the land's ours, and as long as it connects to the park. Just use them for a road and then have that deed that we have to construct them being at the end of the road.
Well, I'll give you my objections later, so go ahead, Michelle.
Okay, so as when we proposed both of the, or gave the two proposals, and Natalie and I both said, you know, based on the public input and such, and kind of the big idea of the future of Parks and Rec in our town, that we would support seeing the east side proposal followed if we can make that feasible. So Natalie's continuing to determine the absolute feasibility of that, but we don't feel we have enough information yet to responsibly, you know, recommend that until we get a few more answers and you know, some of these pieces lined out. In the meantime, I'm continuing to explore the playground renovation. In the beginning, it was particularly frustrating because it was like, okay, well, we like this piece of company, and it's like a capacity piecemeal to really get what we want. But with Lori's help a couple months ago, came across a company that seems to have a lot of different things. And I had met with this man in person before the new year, and then I've spoken to him on the phone multiple times and gone through all of the different park equipment that we would be interested in. He's brought forth a couple different proposals of how things could be arranged. He's got all the exact measurements. I tell you, the park is difficult because there is not a single thing in that park that is currently up to code in terms of the clearance it needs. Our swings, everything is out of code. So we, you know, the instinct is when, whether it's with this grant, if the east side, you know, it seems unfeasible and this is the project that the board supports, or whether it's with a future grant, eventually this playground is going to definitely need complete overhaul, basically. And we can't really do it one piece at a time because we take out one thing and that area isn't big enough. Like if we took out the swings and put something else in that area is not big enough for any swing. It doesn't have the clearance in any direction for swing. So anyway, we need to do pretty much the whole thing at once. So I'm looking at different costs for that. And it would certainly come in within our budget if we chose to do that proposal for this. If not, then we will have some great information for something in the future. So hopefully the next time we report on this, Natalie and I are very hopeful and excited that we might actually have a plan to recommend and that we could actually start to take some action on this. In response to Chuck, your question about, his name is Ben, and the Eagle Scout that was interested in donating or doing his project for the lights, he is absolutely still interested. That said, BSA or Boy Scouts of America has currently suspended any in-person Eagle Scout project due to COVID. So it's in a little bit of a way that's almost a relief because he's not sitting waiting, you know, for us to get a move on it. But he's absolutely ready and willing. He's a junior in high school, so he'll still be around for another year after this one. And so hopefully with a plan approval, since that is on both of our proposals, but as soon as we get a plan that moves forward and once the Boy Scouts of America lifts that restriction, then Ben could get to work with it.
Please don't forget him.
No. Not possible.
I would love to do it for him. I think it was, what, $2,500?
For the supplies, and then he was going to donate that.
Type of thing. Mm-hmm. So, but, you know, like everything else, it'd be nice if we had some revenue coming in. Where's Wendy? Where did she
go?
Okay. You know, I just don't want to lose sight of him, and if we can do it, I'd love to do it.
Yes, and Chuck, I think it's Ben that just joined our meeting, and because he just said thank you, Chuck, in the comments. But I am wondering, Todd just said that BSA just lifted that stop last week with the reasonable orders. Anyway, it's not particularly, you know, critical that we know whether that order has been lifted or not at the moment, because we're still not in a position to proceed with it. But,
right.
Oh, it's Monica. Sorry, Monica. But anyway, hopefully things will all come together to make sure that that's a win-win for all of us.
Natalie, I have a quick question.
I have a quick question, actually, too.
So here's a question. Have you considered, with Natalie's idea, and your idea, Michelle, to somehow integrate
about the snow player problem and create a space that maybe is like pay to play, and then like a park where they could, during the winter months, it could be used as a play area, and we can generate some income that way by charging for parking. And then during the other time of year, it could be used for either a dog park or a sports park or things like that, where that land is being utilized in many different ways.
In response to that, nice, and I think we got to hear from Lori, in response to that, no, because when we did our public meetings, just like the Snow Advisory or the Winter Tourism Advisory Committee, when we did our public meetings, that was not something that was brought up, and so we did our public meetings, we created a survey, we surveyed the town and such, and then we based our proposals and all the work that we've done for the past few months on the most popular items, or the ones that got the most positive response from the 300-something people that filled out the survey, Natalie?
I think so.
250 or 350. I think it was 300-something. So, no, not for this grant. That's a great idea. And it's also something that is part of the motivation of having something happen on the east end of town. If there's no space for that in town. The space for that would be over on the east side. But that comes following other things that have to be done to get us access to that. Lori, did you have...
Yeah, Natalie, with all the costs so far that you've gotten quotes on approximately for the surveys and the drawings and all this stuff, are we still able to pay for all of that so far?
Yeah, from what I'm looking at right now, we're close to budget, pretty much out of budget, but there are some things that need to be ironed out as far as things that we may be exempt from.
Okay.
For example, the Caltrans encroachment permit, we may be exempt from because we are a public agency. So it's, I will have more report on the actual budget, and that will be within my report is the actual budget. But as of right now, I'm working on it as if it is going to be within budget.
Okay.
Are you saying the budget is $183,000 from the grant? Is that what your budget is?
Yeah, that's what I've been looking at, but Michelle and I are looking at $161,000 to leave room for a couple of other projects that we want to do within the $181,000 that we get.
Okay.
So when you're talking about the budget, Natalie, and staying under budget, you're talking about the $160,000-something.
Yes, okay. I'm trying to stay in there, but as I said, there's some things that I need to iron out with that to responsibly propose that.
And we would have to have a deed from the property owners deeding that property over to us.
Conditions
as far as they're willing to give us, because it's not a donation if they've got requirements that we have to do, meaning build the road. So that's something that we would need to get before we even considered starting. Is that correct?
Yeah, so we've already talked with them, and they indicated that they will give us whatever type of grant we need. But, yes, they would have to deed us over the 4 acres, and they would have to give us an easement from Highway 2 to the 4 acres to build a road on top of.
That's a sweet deal for them, that's for sure.
Any other comments out there? It sounds like we need to push it out for the next meeting, March 2nd.
Yes, we have no recommendation at this point. That's our update.
Okay.
Good job.
Thank you. We'll go ahead. I'm going to the next item, and that's the state park. Lori,
okay.
State park grant,
yes.
That you've got on that.
Yeah, currently the state of California is accepting applications for a statewide parks program grant. I've started working on this in case the per capita grant will be used for the Eastside Park instead of the Hollis Stewart Playground. I would like to request $225 to replace the playground equipment, replace tables, and add a bowl to the skate park. The deadline for the application is March 12th. That is soon, and it's a lengthy application. I've been in contact with Don
Hazrat and to help with the application, and he's on board. I'm looking for the board approval, as this is a competitive grant, and there's a lot of work to be done.
Does $225, is that a fee? $225,000, okay.
That's the grant amount that I would apply for. In addition, there's also, I could submit multiple applications, because there's another application I could submit for approximately $200,000 to update the community building, including leveling out and fixing the parking lot. But
I could see us applying for all of those things.
Yes.
And with John helping, I think that's golden. No pun intended.
And do you have to have one particular project identified to use the $225,000 right now, or can you apply for just the amount?
No, I have to have a particular project. I have to have details. I have to have all kinds of stuff. So, I mean, some of the information on the applications would be the same if I apply for both of them. The only problem is, like I said, it's a lengthy application, so I'm going to have to really buckle down and get it done, because it's due on the 12th of next month.
I would definitely like to see that happen. I'm more than happy to share with you the work that Murray from Bert has done with me on the playground estimates and such.
Okay, I would appreciate that.
So if, hypothetically, if we went with the playground route with the grant that we're working, Michelle and I are working on those ideas, then you would be applying for two different things, and you would have a plan that excluded the Hollis Stewart Park in case we moved forward with that?
No, it would be two separate applications. One for the Hollis Stewart Park, in case you guys don't use the original grant for that. So you would have the Hollis Stewart Park grant, and then you would also have a grant application for upgrading the building and the parking.
Two separate ones.
And the Hollis Stewart Park would include putting a skate bowl in it?
Yes.
Okay.
Because the minimum of the grant is $200,000, so we might as well, go ahead and use as much as we can, but we have to keep it within, like, the same address. So.
Okay. I think go for it, Lori. So what do we need as a board?
Lori, something I'd like to see added on to that park idea and the skate thing was the idea, and we have to speak with John Garner about this, whether it's even feasible, but the idea of making that basketball court such that it had a double fence so that it could be used by the public on the weekends, locked from the public during the week.
If we put the bowl in, I don't think we can do the basketball fence. But I'm not sure.
I can talk with you about that later on.
Yeah, okay, that's fine.
So, Steve, on this, is this a motion to have Lori move forward on the two different grants?
Well, there really isn't any paperwork behind that. There isn't any materials behind the staff report. I'm unclear as to what that application is going to look like. The application typically have a resolution that gets adopted by the board authorizing that. And I don't know if that is part of the package for this grant or not, but normally there's some sort of authorization document that would need to go with the application.
Didn't we do that for the Eastside Park? Didn't we already do a resolution for that?
The resolution is not due with the application. It's due after the award.
Right. Okay.
Do we actually need a motion for her to move forward on this?
Good question.
I guess the motion would be to authorize your general manager to prepare the application. Is it contemplated that the application documents would be brought back to the board at your March meeting?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yes.
So you really, if that's the case, you don't really need a motion or any type of action from the board. Just
direction.
Yeah, just direction for Lori to prepare that and then bring that back for authorization and approval at your March meeting.
So that would be direction for both of those. Lori, are you going to be able to do both of them, or just
We'll give you direction for the both of them, and if you get one, that's great, and if you get both, that's even
better. I just say, both applications will be submitted, whether or not, because they're competitive, I can't guarantee that we will get them, but both applications will be submitted, and they will be complete packages.
Okay.
And Dawn's going to work with you on them?
Yes, Dawn's going to help her.
And the next agenda item, Leo, is we'll have
a quiz for her.
There was one more question in the chat. John Garner asked, where are you proposing to put that table?
I need to talk to Michelle because I know you guys talked about a skate bowl over by the skate park, but I want to make sure that I know exactly where you guys were talking about before I do any include that into the application. So I need to talk to you guys, but I think Michelle would know.
Okay, I think what we're probably envisioning there is putting it next to the basketball court, like Michelle was talking about, where there's like a dirt area next. It goes along the fence line of the school, but we'd have to find out if that's ours to build on or if that's snow line. Do you know that way?
No, I do not. I do not know the exact property line, so I would have to find that out.
You don't? Do you know that?
Let me get John on that real quick. I just lost him. Oh, here he is.
He's the dog.
Yeah.
All right, yeah. It's my understanding that currently...
Oh, we lost you.
We got muted again, John.
You got muted.
All right, I think I'm back.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, good. It's my understanding that the property that the skate park is on and the Hollis Stewart Park is school district property that is leased for $1 a year under an earlier agreement from many years ago. It was initially leased to the county, and I think that got transferred to the CSC when it was formed. But I believe that is still school district property.
Let's get that cleared out here. Sure. I was under the impression that contract was just for when we use the field. So that's definitely no information to me. Thanks, John.
I think those are two separate agreements.
So, Lori, yes. I think you'll have to do some investigation on that.
Yeah, we've got some deeds in the space that I believe go to that land, but I will do that. I'll double check it and make it sure.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, John.
So the next item on the agenda is the COVID-19 hours and
staff hours and payroll.
Yeah.
Okay. Back on March 17th, when the board voted to pay the staff for the 20 hours a week that they are normally budgeted during COVID, I don't believe anybody on the board, even I, did not know that it was going to go this long. So now we are having some areas that I would like for the board to clarify the decision on the 20 hours. I've had people not show up for a shift and expect to get paid. I've had people come in for 15 minutes or an hour and then leave and expect to get paid for their 5 hours. So I would like to clarify the board's position so that going forward, everybody's on the same page. Now my recommendation is that employees are to work at least 3 days per week. Regular is four. Employees are to work at least 3 hours per day to be paid the regular five. And employees that do not show up to work will not be paid unless calling into the general manager prior to the shift start, and then that will be sick pay. In addition, anybody who does not adhere by these will then actually be paid for the actual hours that they are there.
So here's my opinion. As a business guy, I've cut my staff back, and they work the scheduled hours that I put in. And I go from 6 hours down to 4 hours. So, and I post that every 2 weeks for my front staff and the back staff. And they work those scheduled hours. So my position is we're running this And if I think this as a business, if you've got somebody that needs to have a, you've got a 3-hour job or a 2-hour job, I would schedule it as such, and then that's what they work and that's what they get paid. That's my opinion. Whatever hours work is what they get paid. I don't give hours to people that work 3 hours but they got a 5-hour shift. So I'm in the direction, and I'm looking, being conservative and being the business guy, that's how I would approach it. My staff has got hit very hard by doing this, but I've got to survive, and the CSD's got to survive through this as well. So I appreciate your recommendation, and I think it's great, but I take it one more step farther, and I just wanted to hear what the rest of the board would say.
I agree with you. I think that, you know, that worry should schedule the hours and that they should be expected to work those hours. I don't like the coming in for 15 minutes and then for 4 hours. That doesn't make sense to me. I think it should be very, your schedule is this and you're expected to work those hours.
Yeah, I would ask, you know, we're recommending something to the effect of work 9 hours a week and get paid for twice. You know, when we did this back in March, nobody knew what it was going to look like.
Right.
Nobody, I don't think, ever even imagined this thing was going to go for over a year. And we're trying to help out the employees. But, you know, I'm in with Leo in the sense of I call the office and if the recording says, we're open Monday through Friday from 8 to 1. And that's actually on the recording that people call in for. As far as I'm concerned, there's stuff that can be done. I mean, we're looking at 2 major grants. If there's stuff that they can help out with, maybe the parks, you know, guy can't, but you know, Tammy certainly can, and I know I see Tammy's iPad on the screen here. But, you know, we need to utilize what we have as far as personnel. And I know I have asked you before, Lori, and it might help the board, too, is if we can take a look and say, this is what, you know, they've worked, and this is what we've paid them. Because, you know, if you got people leaving after 15 minutes and expecting to get paid the full 5 hours, that just, you know, that's hard for me to accept. Especially when we're holding back on doing certain things. Where's Wendy? Is Wendy still with me?
Yes.
that we're holding off on doing certain things. Because we're paying full boat for employees that aren't working. So, I know it's hard to believe that I agreed with Leo that I do.
No, it was fiscally conservative, Jack. Of course you did.
In the sense of working, you know, a straight shift. And if it means I gotta use, Tammy to help on the budget while I'm looking stuff up while you're working on the grant. You know, there's ways to utilize the personnel. And the fact of just saying, work 9 hours and we'll pay you for 20, that's a little tough for me right now based on where we are budget-wise.
Okay, because I'd say the reason I'm bringing this up is because the board direction was to pay everybody, you know, for the 20 hours.
Absolutely.
No question. This isn't any reflection on you, Lori. This was stuff the board did.
Okay, and my concern is if
maybe really didn't think it through, other than maybe a couple months. And
the other thing was this: we were going through COVID-19, and then we were going through the summertime as well, right? So we thought maybe the parks or all that stuff would kick in, but it just didn't materialize. And I don't see anything moving forward yet. And now we've got all this snow and everything else. So, anyways, that's my opinion as far as what we need to do. But, Steve, is this something? I know, Sadie, you wanted to say something.
Yeah, I mean, I just have a couple comments. I obviously wasn't here when you guys made the initial decision to pay for the 20 hours. But just not even from a business sense, but just even, you know, I work in the public sector. If you're paid 20 hours, you work 20 hours, and I'm not sure why we wouldn't enforce that, per se. And so in the sense of if there isn't things to do for those 20 hours, then you need to assign things to do. And if that means, I may be out of turn here, but if that means going and picking up trash in the parks or researching future contracts for a port body or researching whatever, we need to put our employees' work if we're paying them for 20 hours of work. And that's the employee that wouldn't be the same. Maybe we just all victims of the whole COVID thing. What I would like to implement moving forward, and maybe this is the right time, I'm trying to wait for the director's comment, but I would love to see a weekly report from you, Lori, and perhaps maybe your staff too. I don't want to get too crazy about it. Like, my work, I have to track down to 15-minute mark every single thing I do throughout the day. I'd like to see a general view of, here's Lori's Monday. Today I worked on this grant, blah, 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 blah. And maybe you can implement that with your employees too, because that will help us identify any issues with their spending X amount of time here, and that's a major issue. Maybe we need more staff there. Or, you know, they're actually not doing this like they should be. They're only spent 15 minutes doing this, but we really need them to do 4 hours of this. So I don't want to be too crazy down to the 15-minute mark, but if you can direct your staff as well as you know, weekly recap of kind of what you did every single day, I think that would help us as a board have some visibility into what our employees are doing. And either that means that we can allocate more hours to you guys because we need it, and we need help from the public bring up all these issues that we're dealing with, and we need to employ them to do that. That's what Steve brought up at the last meeting, is, you know, we have these needs that need to be met, and I'd love to see us use our employees for that. So maybe this can be a first step of just a quick recap that you send the board or something, of like, this is the highlight of what I've done this week. And then identify those challenges that you're faced with, and hey, you know, I need help with XYZ this week, or I was short staff, or, you know, people didn't show up, or I had too much work here. And just think that it's more of a visibility thing for
Katie, I totally disagree with that, because our job is to make decisions and
policy,
those types of things. Mm-hmm. The HIT manager is totally in charge of her employee. We set the
policy.
The policy, but also we gave her a range as far as how much to pay them within a range, that type of thing. But the day-to-day stuff, how she manages her employees, again, if it's something that the board doesn't like, we can always review Lori and give her feedback. But as far as telling her or having her do micromanaging, I just disagree with that. It's not our job.
And I wasn't speaking in the sense of getting a report from the employees, like totally Lori's job. I was just looking for a high level of what she's dealt with throughout the week and any challenges that we can help with. It's more of a visibility thing. It wasn't a micromanaging her employees. That would be her job.
No, or micromanaging her. I mean, we hired her to do a job.
Yeah.
She's got two major ones coming up called the two grants, the Eastside Park and the Hollis or Community Center. And don't be afraid to jump in, Steve. so that's how I understood my position as a board member, was to stay away from the day-to-day stuff.
Yeah, and like I said, I wasn't micromanaging. It's just a high-level viewpoint to identify any challenges and not have visibility into what we're dealing with.
Okay.
I have a comment as well after Steve.
I think that the issue may have passed, but I didn't understand Director Roberts' point to be one of actually micromanaging Lori's performance, but rather one of just information. And so I didn't necessarily see it as micromanaging, though your point is correct, Chuck, in the larger sense that the role of the board is to set policy. The board's one employee is its general manager, and the general manager manages all of the other employees. So, you know, that's the typical paradigm that you're working at. So, but that was all I would have to say.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Michelle, you got something to say.
Right. I wanted to give at least 60% of the people in this meeting were not at the meeting where we made this decision. So I just want to give a little bit of background. The reason we made this decision is, as been stated, we all thought it was going to go a couple months, summer would bring the leave. But also, we have had a difficult time retaining quality employees because these are all part-time positions. And they're not high-paying positions. And so we have had a difficult time retaining employees. We had good employees. When COVID started, we wanted to retain them. And we thought it would just be a couple months, so we really wanted to take care of our employees. That said, as everybody stated, it's a different game now. The rules are changing. I support what everybody said, and I would like to see, Lori, you assign your employees, or the people that you are managing, the number of hours that you have worked for them to do that week. And I agree with what Chuck said about Tammy. Tammy's got a lot of different skills, so if, especially during this grant writing process, if she can help fill, you know, whatever gaps you might be left with you focusing on the grant, that would be ideal. I would love to give people as many hours as we can, but I don't want to see us paying for hours that aren't being worked or hours that are doing really menial things when we can redirect some of that money to our porta potties or things that are more pertinent to what's happening right now.
I have one question here, Steve. You know, we've got part-time employees that are at 20 hours. There's no guarantee that 20 hours per for our part-time employees, right? There's no guarantee.
No.
I mean, if Story's got 10 hours worth of work this week, then that's what they get.
No, there's no guarantee.
20 hours. Okay.
There's no guarantee.
I just say, my concern is what Michelle brought up, is maybe losing these employees because we can't give them the hours.
Yeah.
I think that we turned the corner to the point that I really hope we don't lose any employees, but we also definitely shouldn't be paying 20 hours if there isn't work to be done in the parks, if there isn't work to be done.
Yeah.
You know, I know a lot of stuff has changed without the building being rented all the time, too.
Yeah, there's no maintenance or, you know, all that's up inside the buildings, or they even the toilets.
Hey, Leo, Monica has her, it says Todd, but Monica's got a question.
Okay.
And Steve, we need to make a motion because we made a motion previously, so we need to...
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct. Yes.
I'm looking for Monica.
Steve, so tell me, Christian
said. Yeah, I'm looking on...
It's at the top because the hand is up. Steve, I don't know if you're able to kind of consolidate what we all just said to suggest some wording to make that process look better after we hear from Monica.
Sure. I'll give it a shot.
Okay.
And I wanted
to
give before we make any motion.
Oh, it is Todd?
It's Todd. Yeah. Christensen.
Okay.
Hi, it's Monica. I have a question. So if the employees are working less hours and getting paid less, wouldn't they be eligible for getting the COVID relief unemployment at the same time, even if they're working partial hours?
They weren't getting paid less. They were getting paid what they...
No, from this point on. If they had open hours, yeah. Wouldn't they be allowed to apply? Because I know my work, when they got all of the surgeries at the hospital, there was a short period where, like even myself, they cut all of our hours, and so we were eligible to apply for unemployment and just on a weekly basis submit it, and if we were below the threshold, they gave money. If we were above the threshold, they didn't give money, or what? I think that's how it works. And so I'm just wondering if these employees working part-time, if they weren't getting hours, it would directly be related to COVID, so therefore they should be allowed to apply for the unemployment, correct? And then if they work below the threshold according to the state and get state below a certain amount that they're used to getting paid for, then they'll get that, and at the minimum they would get at least whatever the federal government passes for COVID release as well. Correct?
Great point, Monica.
That's a great point.
Yes, to my knowledge, that's correct.
I won't speak as to whether or not that entitlement, whether unemployment will grant that entitlement or not. I don't think that we're in a position to be able to commit to that particular decision, because that's not one we get to make.
Yeah.
If the employee wants to apply for that, that's a decision for them to make. And I'm not making any statement as to whether that would be granted or not. That needs to be clear. I think that's certainly an option for an employee that is affected to pursue, and that where those chips lie, I don't know.
I just figured I'd mention it for employee retention for them to need to do it. Thank you.
Thanks, Monica. Thank you. Take care. The only thing I would have problem with, Leo, is only giving them a week's notice as far as what you plan on having the hours that they work. If there was a way that you could kind of take a look at the payroll aspect, which is, I think, what, approximately every 2 weeks. I know you got the first and the 15th. But if they got an idea that, okay, well, I got some money coming in this next 2 weeks, and after that I might not have it coming in, they can manage their finances maybe a little bit easier if they know what's coming. Just a thought.
Well, that would be just up to the general manager on,
of course,
work effort the next couple of weeks, and that's why I post 2 weeks out so the employee understands their days are going to be working, and the days are going to be off, all that sort of stuff. But back to your original point, Chuck, on the hours of 8 to 1. So why can't we have our office manned 8 to 1 Monday through Friday?
There's not enough work to keep somebody busy from 8 to 1, except for, like, the grant stuff. I mean, having somebody actually in the building is not doing anything for us. The building is locked. So, I know the phones are answered, if they can get to them from 8 to 1, but, actually having somebody physically in the building does not enough work to keep them busy.
So the grant work that you're doing, Lori, is it at the office or at home?
That will depend on how much interruptions I get in the office. I'm anticipating doing it as the majority of it in the office, because that's where I have all my stuff, but I can also bring it home and work on that on the laptop as well. So,
however you want to do it, but that's my thought process is, you know, unless the board wants to review the hours.
Can we have the phone number forwarded? Is that the issue right now? The general line isn't getting answered? We can just forward that.
Oh, no, it's getting answered. It's getting answered. I mean, it may not be answered right where somebody calls, because maybe somebody is on the line. Maybe somebody's in the bathroom. I mean, you know, there's those issues.
So then what are the hours of the, what hours are we trying to meet then? Is my question. Like, from 9 to 1?
Yeah, because we advertise at the community building and from Monday through Friday from 8 to 1.
But for Larry's point, the building is locked, right?
Correct.
Yeah, but
so the only issue is answering the phone?
Yeah, essentially.
So
we're trying to find work to do within those hours if that employee is doing in the office.
So let's just change our hours for short time, 9 to 12. I mean, I did that in my business. I changed it from 9 to, or 7 to 9. I go 8 to 8 now. I don't know, it's just visibility, not visibility, but somebody being there. I know, Chuck, you've been frustrated, I've been frustrated, and I send people there, and nobody's there, or they think they're there, but anyways, I just want to get this cleaned up.
Yeah, I just say, part of the issue is the building's locked, and we will answer the door if somebody knocks, but because of the COVID, we're not leaving the building open. So,
I'm fine with doing a change in the hours, 9 to 12, 8 to 11, whatever you want to do, and then we can change those hours on the website and put a sign on the building. The phone, however, is answered 8 to 1.
Okay. So, who wants to make a motion here on not the hours yet?
Can I have ask a point of clarification?
Sure.
Is the intent here that Lori would then would put together a schedule, and then the employees would be paid based upon that schedule? It's not a situation where if Lori sends someone home, schedules them for 4 hours and then sends them home after an hour, that they're only being paid for an hour.
No.
I was going to say, if I schedule them, I should pay them unless they leave early, unless I've told them to leave early.
Well, that was my question.
Or if they leave early of their own accord.
That's what I'm talking about, is if they leave early of their own accord, that needs to be addressed.
That's different, because if you're sending, it doesn't seem fair to me, to the employee, that if their schedule, if they miss to work a 4-hour shift, and they come in and there's nothing to do. Well, that's not their fault.
Right. That would be my fault.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So the motion would be that the district would go back to paying its employees based upon the time that they're scheduled to work. I think it would be that simple. And
yeah, I agree.
And the scheduling is up to the general manager, or is that just assumed that even need to be stated?
You can tag down. That's fine. Yeah.
Okay, Michelle, go for it.
I'm going to let Steve read it, and then I'm going to say, no move. We've been around this block before,
you know.
Go ahead, Steve.
The motion would be to go back to employee payment schedule based upon hours that are scheduled by the general manager.
And work?
Well, I mean, that was the question, right? If they leave because of their own decision, obviously the district should not pay for that. But
okay, that's all I meant.
If the general manager sends someone home, then
the district pays for it.
Okay. They should still be paid for their full schedule.
Okay.
Right.
Still moved.
Second. Good.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, we got that one taken care of. Thank you, guys. And thank you, Lori, for...
What hours did you want me to have the building? What hours do you want on the website or on the building?
I don't think we should talk about that now.
Okay.
Dump card pictures or photos.
Yeah, we ran a photo contest for pictures on the dump card. Sadly, we got one entry. It was a nice picture. It really was, but it didn't translate well onto the card. So, the idea behind it was to have the board choose next year's photo. So, I've included 4 photos that the staff picked out of the ones that we had picked up, and I wanted to see, number one, if the board has a preference, and number two, what that preference might be.
My preference is the snowy one, right? Because I can see it the clearest, and it's the, aside from squirrels, but that's not my favorite part of Wrightwood.
Don't worry about the wording. The wording on the card will be fixed so that it shows up.
Ignore that.
Yeah, ignore that. But just
one of them looks more like desert to me. One of them was, you know, it's lovely of snow, but, you know.
So the top left hand?
For me.
I like the one in Chuck's background. There you go.
That would be pretty cool, actually, if we could just get a picture of Inspiration Point. I bet you could talk to, who's the guy?
Scott.
Who?
Jeff Scott.
Thank you. That's exactly who I was thinking.
Who is Jeff Scott, and does he even know how to contact you?
On Facebook, he posts beautiful, or he used to a couple of years ago. I can tear them down if I need to.
That would be very helpful. Thank you, Michelle.
What a great idea there, Chuck. Thank you.
Hey, you're welcome. Hey, Larry. Corey, before that you showed me and asked for my preference, didn't even make the packet.
Yes, they did, and there were eight. There were eight to start with, and so yes, a couple of them did make the packet. I thought, but I could be wrong.
I don't see any. Mine were all the snow. I like snow, Leo.
Well, there's the one the upper left is the snow.
I think with the board.
It looks like coral.
With the board's approval here, I think we should just have the general manager go ahead and make the decision.
Yeah, I'm for that.
There you go, Lori.
Okay, I'll make the decision.
We don't need any motion or nothing, right, Steve? This is a simple. Okay, dump card supplies.
Okay. In order to get the dump card started, so that we have plenty of time to get all the stuff done that we need to get done, I need to have the board approve the purchase of the supplies. I've listed them out here. It's approximately $3,900. It's a little bit more than last year, but basically the same type of stuff, the cards, the postage, the printer ribbon, the labels, all that stuff. I just need approval from the board to spend that much.
Lori, what's the difference between last year and this year that made an increase?
Cost of living. I just added a 3% cost of living increase on all the costs. I've gotten a couple of them. They're pretty much the same, but basically that's it.
Do you have the program that Wes put together for the dump cards, Lori?
Yes.
Okay, good. All right.
So I'm okay with this. I mean, this is something that we have to do.
Yeah.
And doing it early like this is great. We get the picture, and it'll be done. And Lori, I know you got the SOP and operating procedures for that download for San Bernardino County, LA County. So
I do.
All right. So any other comments from the board?
I move that we authorize Lori to spend the $3,900 for the dump card supplies.
Second.
I forgot what.
In favor?
In favor, geez. So long, guys. In favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, it passes. Thank you, Lori.
Thank you.
It's your board meeting.
Nope.
policy.
We got a lost and found policy first.
Nope.
Sorry. It's getting late.
Lost and found. What'd you lose, Lori?
My marbles? We all did. We are long gone. Anyway, we're currently accumulating quite a bit of lost and found items. We've been posting pictures and or descriptions on Facebook. We're not getting anyone claiming the items.
Where are they coming from?
People just leaving stuff.
Snow players,
skate park stuff. I found two helmets one day at the skate park. Mm-hmm. And I know those things aren't
cheap. Huh? Those helmets are mine. I've been meaning to tell you.
Excuse me, you can't reply.
I've been meaning to tell you, but yes, one of the triple A one with the circles, the black one, that's my son.
Okay, I tell you what, I need you to come by the building anyway to sign something, so we will do a switch.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay.
Where are you posting this at?
I'm posting it on Facebook.
I know, but what page?
Oh, I posted as the CSV, so I don't have a lot. The CSV isn't linked to any of the pages. It just posts as a CSV. And I don't want to post it personally because I already have enough stuff off there.
This could supply our thrift store.
Words right out of my mouth.
I was going to say, there are a couple different ideas here. My recommendations, because we don't have a policy for this, my recommendations is to post it on Facebook, ask the newspaper to run a small article every few months, and then either give the items to Goodwill or another charity after 3 months, or hold to sell at the semi-annual yard sale weekends, or a thrift store should we ever get one, or offer free to residents so they can come pick out whatever they want, which that's my least favorite option.
Okay.
I like what Vicky said in chat, rummage sale, which you said, you know, save it till yard sale weekend.
Yeah.
I save it and, yeah, but, it was
only the nice things, though, Lori, only the nice things.
Steve, is there any timeline that we have to hold them before we sell them?
This chat comments are funny, sorry.
Oh, wait, now I gotta look.
No, there isn't. That's why Lori was bringing this as a policy. It's really the board's call as to how you want to handle that.
Usually, CHP and Caltrans, you can hold things for 30 days that were found on the side of the road that actually have value. It's not trash or you can risk or damage, but things that have value, hold it for 30 days, and then after that, whatever we can do with it.
Okay. I don't know, skate park helmets should be maybe a week or something.
2 days.
I have plenty of helmets. I really don't need this helmet right now.
I got plenty of orange cones should anybody want one.
There you go.
So I do want to bring up one thing. I do think it's the reason I was asking where are you finding this stuff is I'm so familiar to all of our Snow and Player kids leaving stuff in the building, right? And so I'm like, nobody's in the building. What's getting left? If we make it 30 days, I would like to make that the things found outside because when people leave things inside the community building, sometimes they don't come back until the next month for their monthly meeting, and then they go, oh, that's where I left that. So that's specific to inside the building. And so I don't know if we went two separate policies. They just wanted to bring that up. It's a little. I mean, I'm guessing a lot of the stuff you're finding now are probably from people that don't even live up here.
Yeah, you know what? I would get a lot of it.
You know it's a local.
Yeah.
I think it's more of a policy in general anyway, because we're probably going to save it for the rummage sale.
So, is this...
So, we even matter the 30 days enough.
Yeah, so, Lori, can you bring this up back to us and just give us a couple of policy things, and then we'll just approve it back on next month?
You don't like my recommendations on this month?
Okay, I didn't see who said that.
That was me.
So was Lori. But no, Michelle's talking about the inside as well.
Oh, yeah. I'm talking about all the lost and found items is to post it on. If we're holding it for the semi-annual rummage sale, it's really not a three-month hold. It's more like a six-month hold, which is fine. I just need to clear out some room to put the stuff.
Or why don't we add a page to our own website? Because there's a lot of people, I know Facebook's popular, there's a lot of people who don't go on Facebook. And so I think if it's our lost and found, let's add a page on our website, throw the photos on there. You can post on Facebook too. But if I do something at the community on CSG property, I'd like to be able to go to the CSG page, not have to root around on Facebook. And I don't know, Facebook's horrible about how things get organized, where they were when I was on their last. You spend a lot of time searching for something that you swear got posted 30 seconds ago, and now it's appeared on your feed.
Okay, so where do we go with this board? Recommendation with Lori?
I would say, the recommendations I have on the page are post on Facebook, and then I could add a page to the website to post it there. Ask the newspaper to run a small article, maybe before yard sale weekend, just to let people know that they're out there. And then just hold it for the semi-annual yard sale weekend.
Those all sound great.
Unless we have a thrift store that's starting to need supplies.
Yes, if we go with thrift store, then I wouldn't hold it for a yard sale, then hold it, I'd change my whole time and then go for it.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, who wants to put the motion out there?
Do we need a motion?
Yeah, it's a policy.
I think you could just make that the motion that Lori just gave. I think she broke it down.
Okay.
So move.
You're good at that, Michelle.
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed.
Aye.
Okay.
I was on the approval, not the opposed. If it's a comment founded.
Okay. This has been brought up by a couple different people, and I apologize because I only remember one, and that's Michelle. But it has been requested that we revisit the topic of the times of
our board meeting. Currently, the regular board meetings are held at 6:30. Should these meetings be moved to a different time, earlier or later, and then if so, what time? My recommendation would be 5:30, but that's my personal opinion.
The earlier the better for me. You guys know I push for 5 or 5:30, and then 6, as far as we ever got, was 6:30.
I'm
9 o'clock. This is not...
No, I'm okay with whatever earlier time. I have no preference. So,
I would like to see earlier as well.
Okay.
I'm going to oppose earlier, just on the record. I'm obviously outnumbered here, but just in the sense of, you know, I was one of those commuters that had to drive from Shimondino back home, and there's no way that I would ever be able to attend a board meeting when I leave my job at 5 or 5:30 to get here. So we would lose a portion of the population, especially during the public comment, which is the beginning of the meeting, we would lose the public.
Based on our attendance, I don't believe our attendance has changed whatsoever when we moved it back the first 30 minutes. And currently, especially right now, with less traffic due to COVID, et cetera, I certainly think 6 o'clock is very reasonable, and I'd be happier with any room for that, too. But hey, 9 o'clock for us, for our meetings to go this late when people have school and work the next day, et cetera, we move people for the end of the meetings, and this isn't even including a meeting with a closed session where we've got to meet at the end of that.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I would love 5:30, 6.
I would like 5:30. That's just throwing a time out there.
It is possible for us to change this, try it, and if we find out that it doesn't work, we can revisit this again. Not like it's set in stone.
So, Natalie, what time do the boys eat?
They kind of eat whatever, but yeah, I guess they're sleeping right now, so I always say goodnight to them because they go for a walk. So
that's not good.
It goes pretty late.
So what does the board suggest? I don't care. I'm open.
Vicky's agreeing in chat 5:30 is preferred. Yeah, I agree with you on that. Vicky, by the way, the reason we have not done closed sessions before the meetings is we're never sure how long they're going to go. And we don't want to keep the public waiting for the meeting to start. But that's my preference, too, the meeting, not after.
Sadie, you're the earliest time you could come is at 6 o'clock?
That's what I would recommend, just for the public's benefit. And the only reason that I can make that work is because now I'm working remote. So, you know, I get off of work at 5:30 and I'm already home. So I can make it work, but my comments are just for the rest of the public. So I would be comfortable with 6, but I'm obviously going to be letting you guys see.
Let's try it at 5:30, and we can always move it up.
Is that okay with our attorney? Can you get your bill out for 5:30?
Oh.
God, see?
No, that's an hour. That's for free.
That clock is always ticking, Chuck.
As soon as he picks up that phone, Chuck, his clock is going.
Yeah, no. Are you okay?
There's a complication with that. As you recall, the board has set its regular meeting schedule based upon the Sunshine Ordinance. So to change your time, or any part of your regular meeting schedule, requires bringing that ordinance back to the board. Now, it is set for, it does need to be reviewed annually. So we could bring it back for an annual review with the new time in it, whatever direction you give. It's just that in March, we would either have to have it at 6:30, if you want to schedule it as a regular meeting, or we would cancel the regular meeting and schedule a special meeting for whatever time you wanted, or we would have to kind of work around all that. But those are sort of your options right now for the March meeting, because your regular meeting schedule is set by ordinance, and that's to promote transparency so that your constituents know when your public meetings are, and they can schedule around when your regular meeting schedule. And then that way they can also participate in your decision-making process if you do want to move it.
So if we go to 6:30 for March, can we put on the agenda the preferred time we want to change to 5:30? Would that suffice the sun sign as long as we had that ordinance to revise?
Yeah, so what we could do is we could have your regular meeting in March at 6:30, and then have in that agenda for that meeting, we would have adoption of the Sunshine Ordinance. You have to do an annual review anyway. What we would do is hardwire in there a new 5:30. Is that the direction? 5:30?
Yeah.
You're going to hardwire in there a 5:30 start time. And then once the board adopts that ordinance, then that establishes your new regular meeting schedule.
Okay.
Or just another option or idea is to have the special meeting, to cancel the regular one for March, have the special meeting started at 5:30, keep that agenda item on, but see how that goes before we then vote on something that's going to last for the year, right? So trying out in March, I mean, we guess we can still revisit it, Steve.
You can always revisit it. The problem is that by doing it that way, the 5:30 meetings are special meetings. And if they're special meetings, add anything onto the agenda.
No, misspoke that. What I meant was that we would go ahead and have it be a special meeting next time so we could go ahead and start at 5:30, seeing how that goes. Go ahead and have the Sunshine Ordinance review on that agenda.
Yeah, you can do it that way. You can do it that way. We would cancel the regular meeting in March, schedule a special meeting on the same day, just an hour earlier, have the Sunshine Ordinance on. The only thing is that that March meeting, you would not be able to add anything onto the agenda because it's just the Sunshine. No, you could have other items on the agenda. You just can't, at the time of the board meeting, add anything on.
Oh, like we did tonight.
What you did tonight is you moved things around, which you could still do on a special meeting. But sometimes what happens is at a regular meeting, you have the ability, by a two-thirds vote, the board can add a new item onto the agenda if there's a need for immediate action, and that need arose after the agenda was posted. That's kind of a big deal. You guys don't do it that often, but for a lot of agencies, that's a big deal to have that flexibility if something comes up. But you can't do that at a special meeting. You're stuck with what the agenda says. We can put other things on the agenda. It doesn't just have to be Sunshine Ordinance.
Okay.
You're stuck with what's on the agenda.
I think
the 4 years, Michelle, that I've been here, unless we were raising the rates, we've got the winter traffic issue going on, there's no more, 6 or 7 people to show up for these things.
So, we have 28 today.
Right,
again,
we have the winter
invite. So let's do this. Let's go ahead and cancel it, and then we'll do a special meeting at 5:30. I know Steve and I think some of the other board members, I had mentioned in the last closed session that I wanted to review the Sunshine Ordinance and some of the new laws on the Brown Act. And if that's something that you could bring back to us as well, Steve, I think that'll be a nice yearly thing to encapsulate and get it done.
Okay,
that's fine. The one thing I would like to say, just for point of clarification, we do put the closed session on at the end of the agenda, a courtesy to the public, because if you put it on at the beginning, then the public's sitting around, at least back in the days when we went to meetings, even now remotely, the public would be waiting around for the board to get out of closed session and wouldn't know when the meeting starts. And you have public comment at the beginning of the agenda. All of that is a courtesy to your public. so that they can participate and they would know when their item is coming up on the agenda. For any of us who attended County Board of Supervisors meetings, it is excruciating the way they handle their board meetings with the closed session at the beginning, and you get a room full of people just pulling their heels waiting for Board of Supervisors to come out.
Yeah.
But it really is a courtesy to the public that you do it that way. And then at the end of the meeting you have, now if someone wants to wait around until you come out of closed session and all you're doing is just announcing what happened, that's their prerogative, but that's all you usually do after a closed session.
Yeah.
So
that would all be better if we started at 5:30. It would feel, we wouldn't be going into closed session at 9:00 at night, you know.
I gotta believe that we're gonna have the two parks, the East Side Park and the Hollis or the Community Center grants. Those types of things that are gonna be on that agenda. So you might as well start at 5:30 and go from there.
So for March, we're gonna cancel the 6:30 meeting, do a special meeting at 5:30, and you're going to go over the Sunshine Ordinance and the Brown Act updates?
Well, the Brown Act update will be part of the Sunshine Ordinance.
Oh, it will be? Okay.
And also the grants. Michelle and Natalie, do you think you got a shot at getting more information by them?
We're very hopeful, and if we get it before then, we're also contemplating, you know, calling a special meeting for it. We want to move forward as quickly as we can. We just want to do so.
And I think,
you know, feeling really prepared.
We're under the gun on the March 12th one right off the bat.
And if we need a special meeting for these grants, we could just do it. And we just
right.
On that.
Right.
Oh, you'll hear from me. You'll hear from me.
And you'll hear from Natalie and I as well. If we're ready to go, we'll get it going.
Okay.
Steve, when do you do Pinion, Field of Pinion Hills and Hellendale?
Field of Pinion Hills CSC is at 6, Hellendale's is at 6:30.
6:30, okay. On what days?
Field of Pinion Hills is the first and third Wednesday of every month, and Hellendale is the first and third Thursday of every month. They do two meetings a month, yes.
Lori, write that down so we know when to schedule so Steve can't make ours.
Okay, we need
the Steel and Pinion Hills Board is state, correct?
Yes. So is Hellendale.
And so is Hellendale. So when we talk about, anyway, I just want to put that all
together. And it's not just those two. Every single one of my public agency clients, their board members are paid.
You have not.
Hey, you are the only one. You are the only board that, the agency board that not only is me, but everyone in my office. You guys have the ability to change it. That's something that you've
started. We started this board as volunteer. We're going to keep it as a volunteer.
Well, we're in good shape because Wendy, I think, has already left the building. We don't have to talk about it.
Okay, let's go to we're merging into, when are we going to have the next
one? March 2nd.
5:30. Okay, direct the comments.
I have a quick comment. Somebody just reached out to me on LinkedIn from Mount Baldy saying that they actually have some innovative approaches to enforcing traffic problems during winter tourism. So she said that she'll give me a call tomorrow. Maybe we can work together on something.
Great. Thanks for all the work, Chuck. I know you've done a lot of work, too, and thanks for that, the work you've done with Sadie. Sadie, thanks for the new enthusiasm you've brought in around, something being possible in this area. Natalie, thanks for the endless work you're doing on the east side, you know, stuff. Lori, for all the many things you're suffering for us. And
because
you're going to
state,
right?
I am too. Sorry.
You did ask me about the park equipment cost I was asking about. And Leo, thanks for that. Wow, that was a
you on Zoom. You look tremendous, but like you're doing it now.
I am.
Good job.
Thanks for Natalie's support and help right there.
You're welcome. I just want to thank the whole board. I want to particularly thank you for your patience with Michelle and I working through these bumps with finding out costs for the grant. But again, we really want to make sure that we do it the right way and that we're responsible with what we propose. So thank you for the patience. And Walshie Pros, thanks to the five people that are still in our meeting. Six! Woo! Six, including Deborah.
She's sitting right next to me.
I would like to thank Natalie and Michelle, specifically Natalie, because I give her nothing but heck on this East Side Park. And the developer and those type of things, but I know that she really cares about it. I know that she's been working very hard to get all the information and that type of thing. And, you know, if I didn't vote no, she wouldn't love me anymore. Thank you, Natalie. You're doing a good job.
Sorry, Chuck. I was muted for, I was frozen for like the last 30 seconds, but thank you for whatever you said.
Well, listen to the tape. Lori's got the
tape. Yeah, you'll never hear it again.
Thank you.
We just take note of that. I just want to thank everybody and Lori. I know we've had a couple of conversations, and thank you for taking some of my direction and have taken that and run with it. And John is still on. I just appreciate him. And John and I've had a conversation on the phone. And there's been a number of other residents that I've talked with on the phone, even with Pam Wright and with John. I have a meeting with John next week. So I just want to say, you guys, thank you for everything. And there's a lot of stuff going on in the background. And we will continue to move forward and make the CSD profitable as we get out of this COVID, and hopefully we get some baseball going here. Come on.
Yes.
Agreed. Please.
Thank you so much. Good night.